Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newdecker. Today in the mini-series, I'm going to be talking about plant-based eating. So how you can include more plant-based foods in your diet, why it may be a good idea to eat a more plant-based diet, how to optimize your diet if you are vegan or vegetarian, or just choosing to eat a little less meat. So I think what's really important initially is obviously the reasons why we want to eat a more plant-based diet. So for myself, I deeply care about the environment and climate change. So my reasons are more ethical reasons as to why I want to eat a more plant-based diet. I wouldn't necessarily label myself and say I am a vegan eater, vegan or vegetarian. I would say that I just try to cut down on meat as and when I can in a more habit-based fashion so that it doesn't affect my relationship with food, and it means that I can feel good about what I eat in terms of cutting down on carbon emissions or playing my part, as small as that may be. So everyone may well have very different reasons. They could even be religious reasons as to why you don't eat certain meats. It could be the ethical reasons I've mentioned for yourself too. Maybe you care quite a lot about climate change. It's something that you want to play your part in trying to help as much as possible. There are some people that want to take part in eating a more plant-based diet for weight loss, for example. I think weight loss is a valid goal for anyone. That I really do believe in body autonomy in terms of what you decide to do with your body, but I think choosing a vegan or vegetarian diet for the sole purpose of weight loss can be a little bit tricky, because it can kind of skirt around the issue of what really matters in terms of the dynamics behind what happens in fat loss, and that is essentially calories in, calories out. Of course, it's more complicated than that. However, the types of food we eat are going to contribute to it. But if we are cutting out food groups essentially for weight loss, and that is the only reason that we choose to eat a certain way, it's a very difficult long-term sustainable change to make. So like I say, weight loss is an admirable goal. However, making sure the reason behind it is going to be a long-term one in terms of the changes to your diet. I'm going to talk a little bit about the carbon emissions that are related to the food we eat. So you may well know that when we are choosing to eat more meats, these foods do have more carbon emissions created by traveling them, processing them, and also the feed for the animals as well. So these are foods that are going to be less beneficial for the world if we carry on eating them. So things like beef and lamb, pork, turkey, chicken, these are the foods that tend to have quite high carbon emissions, and also foods like tuna can also have quite high carbon emissions in terms of getting them onto our plate. So these tend to be the types of foods that we decrease in eating when we want to eat a more plant-based diet. However, I do like to help people have more of an abundant mindset with food, in terms of it's not necessarily cutting down on things, but maybe it's more about including more of other things. So I'll talk a lot about protein sources that are plant-based to make sure that you are getting a good diet, a good well-rounded diet with enough protein in it. And I'll talk about some of the reasons why it's actually more important for someone who is omitting meat from their diet to focus on protein, and some reasons behind that as well. So I think that is the main thing that people come across as a problem when they are eating a plant-based diet, is how can I actually get in enough protein when I am deciding to eat a more plant-based diet. So meat and fish are obviously very high in protein. They are also a complete protein. If you have a look at the amino acid profile of things like chicken, beef, fish, they got a larger amount of amino acids in them, and they're more bioavailable, so they're easier to digest. Plant-based proteins are not so easy to digest. So what that means, it doesn't mean that the diet isn't going to be good for you. It just means we just need to tweak things a little bit so that you can get enough protein, essentially. So plant-based eaters tend to need to include a little bit more protein because it's not so bioavailable. And I'll talk about some of the other ways that you can do that other than just eating tons and tons and tons of lentils. So they're higher in fiber, so they're not so bioavailable. And also the amino acid profile of plant-based proteins aren't quite as complete as meat. However, there are ways that we can change it so that you do get complete proteins from the meal. So if you don't get enough protein, it's not that you're necessarily going to have protein deficiency, because that's actually quite difficult to achieve in more developed countries that we live in. However, the low intake of protein can actually cause a little bit of muscle wasting, and it can put you at a higher risk of bone fractures. So that's actually incredibly important, especially for endurance athletes. If you like to take part in long runs, cycling. So these things are really important. Or of course, if you are a regular exerciser, then you need to be focusing on protein. So it affects all parts of our body. So it's really important for health, and it can obviously impair performance if you are really into your training. So making sure you do get enough is super important. So some ways that you can change your diet if you are wanting to include enough protein, however you want to eat a more plant-based diet, is of course to eat some of the more plant-based meat swaps. So things like, for example, you've got tofu, seitan, tempeh, are all relatively complete proteins. Of course, soya as well. Corn, I think in England, they sell corn, which is a complete protein. And then there are some pulses that you can include that are also high in carbohydrates and fiber. However, they do have protein sources in them, maybe not complete. So things like lentils, kidney beans and other variations of beans, peas and buckwheat, quinoa. These are all really good sources. You can also put rice and beans together in order to make a complete protein. There used to be a time when everyone would say that you have to put it on that specific plate to make it a complete protein. So you have to have the rice and the beans together. However, they've recently found that actually if you have those foods in combination during that daytime period, it's actually just as good. You don't have to put it all on your plate together. It's just making sure you get a range of amino acids throughout the day. So that could mean that at lunchtime you have some rice, some vegetables, and perhaps you have some beans or peas, and perhaps in another meal you have some things like lentils. Perhaps you then supplement your diet as well with a protein shake, whether that is soya isolate, for example, or one of the rice proteins or pea proteins. Just finding one that you enjoy eating, enjoy consuming as well, because the problem is with some of the plant-based supplements is that they can have a bit more of a bitter taste. They can maybe taste not as sweet as some of the whey proteins available supplements for your diet. So this is the protein powders that I'm talking about. However, I found personally that the best tasting ones are things like soy isolate. So trying some different things, I found pea protein can be a little bit bitter. So mixing it with some other types of protein powders as well, like rice protein powder as well, can be pretty good. So that kind of covers some different foods that we can include in our diet. But in terms of like how much we need, it does still apply to vegetarians and vegans or plant-based eaters, the same amounts as to people who eat meat. So we're looking at roughly, for people who are strength training, who are fairly active, 1.2 to 2 grams per kilogram of body mass. So that will differ from person to person, but I would say for people who aren't eating meat, maybe actually on the higher end of that amount, even though I know that is tricky just because of that bioavailability that I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast. It's a little bit more difficult to absorb that protein, and maybe the amino acid profile isn't quite there. So perhaps on the upper end of that scale would be beneficial. However, if that is like an overwhelming number for you, if you've worked that out and you know that that's even like double of what you're having right now, perhaps building it week by week is going to be more beneficial in more of a habit forming style of adjusting your nutrition. So maybe you're eating currently 60 grams of protein a day, and you know your goal is 120 grams. Say, okay, well, I'm going to have a snack of 10 grams of protein. So maybe that is a protein shake. Maybe that is a bigger portion of tofu at dinner. You're going to have that every day, and then that's going to increase it by 10 grams a day for the next week. The week after, you can say, okay, well, I'm going to include another snack, or I'm going to have a bigger portion at this meal, and you build it slowly like that instead of throwing yourself in at the deep end. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. We can start to feel really full. It can mean as well, if we're having a lot of fiber from things like lentils, kidney beans, peas, it does affect our digestive system. So it can mean that we feel a bit more bloated. So kind of slowly building it up can be a lot more comfortable, can be a lot easier, so you just don't get that really super full feeling as well. So like I say, protein is incredibly important for our health, for muscle gain, for retaining muscle mass, for performance reasons. There's not actually any negative health effects of including more protein in your diet. I know there is some myths about it affecting your kidneys. That isn't actually true. It's all good to include a little bit more protein in your diet, especially if you are vegan or vegetarian. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the micronutrients as well to pay attention to. So naturally in meats, in cheeses, dairy, we have things like B12, which is important for good function, good energy levels, good health. Also iron, heme iron especially, and zinc. These are all things that are incredibly important to pay attention to. So perhaps looking at supplements, if these are things that you know you may be low in, of course consult your doctor before you include any supplements, but making sure you're paying attention to these micronutrients if you are eating a completely vegan or vegetarian diet. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about the reasons why you might want to eat a more plant-based diet, or why you may be choosing to eat that way, and also how you can do it bit by bit. So one thing I talk a lot about with clients, and is the main focus of my nutrition coaching, is mindful eating for a lot of people. So my mindful eating could actually be beneficial in terms of reducing waste, and it can be really helpful in terms of cutting down on landfill, for example. So if you were to not overcook too much food, just cook the right amounts, make sure that your food is going a little bit further, that can be a good idea as well. Another thing that can help is also shopping locally and in-season produce. So you could, for example, go to farmers markets if that is available to you, and it can help just cut down on that carbon footprint that I've been talking about, because we don't have to import the foods from further away. And also eating in season produce as well can be beneficial. So if you don't already eat a vegan or vegetarian diet, but you are actually interested in including more plant-based foods, some simple ways that you could start doing this is to do maybe a meat-free day. So instead of saying, I'm going to cut out meat altogether as of today and that's it, perhaps just choosing one day of the week that you are going to prepare some other meals, that you're going to prepare some other recipes, can be good as well in terms of just building habits that are going to last long term. You could also say, for lunch next week, on each day I'm going to have a plant-based form of protein instead of meat, and I'm going to prepare that for work the next day, for the next week, see if I like them. The important thing is that you include foods that you do actually enjoy. If you are trying things like tofu and some of the other things like buckwheat, and you don't quite like them, and keep trying different plant-based sources that are high in protein, and find ones that you actually enjoy, because that's going to be relevant in terms of making sure that it's a long-term change for you. Having a look at some meat-free recipes online. So BBC Good Food is a fantastic resource for recipes, and you can filter it down. So you're looking at different types of recipes for your ingredients, which is really helpful. If you would like a quick starter guide as to how you can eat more sustainably. I have a free guide which includes recipes and tips how you can start, some habit forming tips, and it's completely free. If you would like to receive this, just drop me an email, info@katenewdecker.com, and say please send me a free guide or free sustainable guide, and I can send it over to you. So I hope this podcast has been helpful today. It's been pretty simple, pretty brief, but if you do have any questions on any of the topics that I've spoken about today, do send me a message over via the email I just mentioned, or of course on Instagram. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a good week.